If I could choose a passage to preach on every Sunday, it would be that passage we had in Sunday school. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a positive message. But I wonder, like, is that your testimony? Is that what you've experienced in your walk with Jesus? Any amens or not sure? Amen? What do you think, I don't know, Apostle Paul or the other disciples that, or the martyrs that gave their lives, would that be their testimony? How about Jeremiah? Would that be his testimony? And I'm not so sure. Like, that was brutal. Like, for real, it was brutal. And I think we have to guard against a message and a messenger that promotes that the gospel and the walk with Jesus is a light, easy walk. It's only light and easy because our burden is lifted, and that burden is the burden of our heart. But apart from that, we dare not get in our mind that life is going to be a walk in the park, because it's not. If that is your mindset, you are going to be disappointed. Just fact of life. What's wrong here? Evan, can you give me any? Let me try this. Let me know when Jeremiah 1 shows up there. It's not there? You're going to have to come up and help me out. You know, most of us live with expectations daily. You can call it hope or expectations. And I guess I should say the title of my message is a little bit along this line: how to live well when life wrecks your hope or your expectations. So hope, expectations is kind of interchangeable here in this message today. And I think it's so much a part of our life. Every day, I think, when we get up, we have a sense of expectation for the day, a sense of hope for the day. And I know a lot of our school children here today have a lot of expectation about tomorrow. You have expectations for the school year. How many first graders? What we have? Two. Who are they? Ellie and who's the other one? Who? Oh, okay. He's not here. All right. Ellie, are you, you have a lot of excitement about going to school? And I imagine she is, even as a first grader, she's already been formulating an expectation in her mind of what school will be like. Some of you, I think, are changing rooms, right? You're leaving Miss Wendy's room, and you're going to be going out to the upper grades room. How many? Raise your hands. Have you thought about that? Are you excited? Do you have expectations? Yeah, of course you do. It's how we live our life. I'm sure you teachers have some expectations for the year. You probably thought about it. How do you want this year to look? And, you know, you kind of formulate this in your mind. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's good. It's what drives us. It motivates us often, is these expectations and our goals. Sometimes we change jobs expectations of how that will be. Jamin recently changed jobs, and his hope is that he can have more time with his family, all the while selling the best food in the world, ice cream. I mean, you can't get better than that, right? Spend time with your family and sell ice cream. So he's got some expectations with that he wants to get out of this job. Jamie, welcome home. Jamie was excited to come home. She's ready to kind of settle down. That's what she's been telling me. Yesterday, I overheard her throughout the day. She walked out the door and she said, "It's depressing in there." It kind of caught my attention. She was depressed at our big house. Jamie, are your expectations all of a sudden not quite what you imagined when you came home? I don't know what all was going on through your mind, but we have these expectations, and they can, if we're not careful, they can kind of leave us Some of you have gotten married recently, and I'm sure you have had expectations of what life together will look like. We had expectations. And you know what? I remember on our honeymoon, you have these expectations. And the day we were scheduled to go snow skiing in Colorado, my wife was sick. I went skiing by myself. A letdown in expectation. So, Eric's, I'm sure you have a tremendous amount of expectations. I don't know what all you expect about a whole complete new culture, complete new food. I don't know. Your life is really, really going to be different. And I'm sure there's a lot of expectation that comes with that. But it seems like so often in life, things that we had hoped and dreamed of leave us shattered. And our hope begins to waver because things didn't work out like we thought they should. And I think that's what's so interesting about that passage we talked about in Sunday school, is that we don't buy into this thing that life is going to be easy. It should be easy. Life should be a walk in the park, because that's not what God promised us. He did say, there is burden carrying, bring your burdens and I will carry them. But as far as just disappointment, it happens. The Bible is full of stories of hope and expectations that were shattered, but also hope that was restored. I've been, over the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, there we go, I've been hanging out with Jeremiah, good old prophet Jeremiah. I have profited a lot from hanging out with Jeremiah, the prophet. Some people caught it. I don't know why. I just started reading in Jeremiah for my morning when I get up and I read. So I've just been hanging out with Jeremiah, trying to learn Jeremiah. And so kind of my message today is taken from Jeremiah. And I've gotten to know Jeremiah the last number of weeks, his life, I'm telling you, was unbelievable hard. Like, the message that God told him to carry to the people was judgment after judgment after judgment. And I want you to just kind of see Jeremiah transpire, like the transpiration that took place from when God first spoke to him till about the middle of Jeremiah. And here I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 1. These are the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests from the town of Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. The Lord first gave messages to Jeremiah during the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. The Lord's messages continued throughout the reign of King Jehoiakim, Josiah's son, until the 11th year of the reign of King Zedekiah, another of Josiah's sons. In August of that 11th year, we're in August, right? So how many years ago was this? I don't know. In August of that 11th year, the people of Jerusalem were taken away as captives. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I sent you apart, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say, I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. Then the Lord said to me, look, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I replied, I see a branch from an almond tree. And the Lord said, that's right, and it means that I am watching, and I will certainly carry out all my plans. Then the Lord spoke to me again and asked, what do you see now? And I replied, I see a pot of boiling water spilling from the north. Yes, the Lord said, for terror from the north will boil out on the people of this land. Listen, I am calling the armies of the kingdoms of the north to come to Jerusalem. I, the Lord, have spoken. They will set their thrones at the gates of the city, They will attack its walls and all the other towns of Judah. I will pronounce judgment on my people for all their evil, for deserting me and burning incense to other gods. Yes, they worship idols made with their own hands. Get up and prepare for action. Go out and tell them everything I tell you to say. Do not be afraid of them, or I will make you look foolish in front of them. For see, today I have made you strong, like a fortified city that cannot be captured, like an iron pillar or a bronze wall. You will stand against the whole land, the kings, officials, priests, and people of Judah. They will fight you, but they will fail, for I am with you. I will take care of you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, I don't know. Initially, Jeremiah was like, I'm too young, God. I can't do this. But God kept just working on him. And then he gave him a couple visuals. He said, what do you see? And Jeremiah spoke, and he said, yes, you're seeing right. And by the time you get down here and God's telling him you're going to be like a fortified city that can't be captured, like an iron pillar or bronze wall, you will stand. They will fight you, but they will fail. What do you think Jeremiah was feeling by this time? I think he was probably like, okay, I can do this. Maybe he was feeling like this. You know, I have got the power. I can do this. God is with me. And I think he was kind of, you know, fired up by this point. Well, then God began to tell him, now I want you to go out and this is what I want you to speak to the people. And I mean, here's some of the different messages that he was told to say. Listen, you foolish and senseless people who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. You have stubborn and rebellious hearts. The prophets give false prophecies and the priests rule with an iron hand. And even worse, the people like it this way. They liked it. Here's another one. The Lord says, I will put obstacles in my people's path. Fathers and sons will both fall over them. Neighbors and friends will collapse together. Another one. A great army. This is what Jeremiah is telling them. A great army is rising against you from the north. They are fully armed for slaughter. They are cruel and show no mercy. As they ride forward, they sound like a roaring sea. They are marching in battle formation to destroy you. Run for your lives. Quit trying to be like other nations. Quit operating like they do by reading the stars to determine the future and cut down trees to carve an idol. The wisest of people who worship idols are stupid and foolish. This was what he was telling these people. Just on and on. Like he was just, this was God's message. He wanted, and like he didn't retreat. It was just bad news after bad. 95% of what Jeremiah said was bad news for him. Like it was judgment. There were times like this where God told him to say this. Even now, if you quit your evil ways, I will let you stay in your land. But don't be fooled by those who promise safety because the Lord's temple is here. But I will be merciful only if you stop your evil thoughts and deeds and start treating each other with justice. Would we want a prophet around like that today? If he would just stand here and Sunday after Sunday, he would pronounce judgment. Would we even listen? They were scheming. Jeremiah didn't even know it, but behind his back, they were scheming together to take him out. And one day, God showed him that. He said, let me show you what they're planning to do to you. And he showed him, and it blew him away. He was like, whoa, I didn't know that. And by chapter 8, you know, Jeremiah, you can't help but you begin to see the discouragement setting in to Jeremiah. Like, why aren't these people repenting? Look here what he says by Jeremiah chapter 8. My grief is beyond healing. My heart is broken. Listen to the weeping of my people. It can be heard all across the land. Has the Lord abandoned Jerusalem? The people ask. Is her king no longer there? Oh, why have they provoked my anger with their carved idols and their worthless foreign gods, says the Lord. The harvest is finished and the summer is gone. The people cry, yet we are not saved. I hurt with the hurt of my people. I mourn and am overcome with grief. Is there no medicine in Gilead? Is there no physicians there? Why is there no healing for the wounds of my people? God, this isn't turning out like I thought it was going to. I really thought that my message was going to impact them and they would repent. And here they are. And here Jeremiah is. He's wrestling with this. What is going on? Well, the Lord kept giving messages to Jeremiah. He was relentless in warning the people of Israel. He said, I'm planning a disaster against you instead of good, so turn from your evil ways. But the people replied, listen to what they replied. Don't waste your breath, Jeremiah. We will continue to live as we want, following our evil desires. And I wrote in my Bible there beside that, when I read that, I wrote, Dick Kepi Let. For you that know Dutch, say it with me. Dick Kepi Let. Someone interpret that for me. Thick-headed, stubborn, refusing to turn from their ways. Dick Kepi Let. Unbelievable. Don't waste your breath, Jeremiah. We will continue to live as we want. They were religious. They were very religious, sacrificing, building altars, making idols. They were even sacrificing their own sons and daughters in the fire. Something that God said I never even thought of. It was so wicked. But I imagine that level of sacrifice was highly esteemed among them. Man, he sacrificed his son today. Wow. They didn't want to be interrupted. They didn't want their system changed. I'm going to move on down to Jeremiah chapter 20. And we're going to see the progression of Jeremiah's despair. Look at him here. Oh Lord, you misled me. And I allowed myself to be misled. Is that true? Was Jeremiah misled? Isn't that how we often feel, though, when life doesn't work out like we think it should? What went wrong? You are stronger than I am, and you overpowered me. Now I am mocked every day. Everyone laughs at me. You remember in the first chapter, God said, if you don't follow my words, I'm going to make you a laughingstock. I forget exactly how that was said. He said, I will make you that. Well, Jeremiah did what God told him, and he was a laughingstock of the people. It's kind of, what do you do with that? When I speak, the words burst out. Violence and destruction, I shout. So these messages from the Lord have made me a household joke. That's what Jeremiah is dealing with right here. He's pretty low. But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, His word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. I have heard the many rumors about me. They call me the man who lives in terror. They threaten, if you say anything, we will report it. Even my old friends are watching me, waiting for a fatal slip. He will trap himself, they say, and then we will get our revenge on him. But the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior. Before him, my persecutors will stumble. They cannot defeat me. They will fail and be thoroughly humiliated. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of heaven's armies, you test those who are righteous, and you examine the deepest thoughts and secrets. Let me see your vengeance against them, for I have committed my cause to you. Sing to the Lord. I praise the Lord, for though I was poor and needy, he rescued me from my oppressors. Yet I curse the day I was born. May no one celebrate the day of my birth. I curse the messenger who told my father, good news, you have a son. Let him be destroyed like the cities of old that the Lord overthrew without mercy. Terrify him all day long with battle shouts, because he did not kill me at birth. Oh, that I had died in my mother's womb, that her body had been my grave. Why was I ever born? My entire life has been filled with trouble. sorrow and shame. You hear the cry of his heart. Life did not go like I thought it would. And I cursed, like cursed is the day I was born. I hope none of us are at that point. But I thought even for Chris and Christine, you know, in the last couple of weeks, the news you found out about your health, you weren't expecting that. You know, and life brings stuff to us, and we just weren't expecting that. And it can really throw us for a loop. From the smallest concerns to the grandest ones, our lives are shaped, directed, motivated, and frustrated by hope. Everyone hopes. Everyone hooks their hope to something or someone. Everyone hopes their hope will come through for them. No one ever purposely hopes in what is hopeless. Everyone longs for hope, that is sure. Everyone gets up in the morning motivated by hope of some kind or paralyzed by hopelessness of some kind. For all of us, hoping is so natural and frequent that we lose sight of how significant it is in shaping what we do, how we do it, and how we feel in the process. Yet even though it's natural and we do it all the time, hope is painfully elusive for many of us. And that was a quote by Paul Tripp. So what do we do with this? How do you handle life when it doesn't play out the way you thought it should? It can really, if we're not careful, it can really, really discourage us. And like Jeremiah, almost tank us. Because it just wasn't what we thought. And I think that's some of the danger of some of the teaching that we hear today is this prosperity and all will be well, and this whole philosophy is false. There are blessings when you follow God's ways. But to expect that life is just going to work out, it won't always work like we think. You know, we want life to be comfortable. We desire to be well-liked. We like our corn dogs and our sugary drinks and all the things we enjoy, sports. And, you know, we want just life to work. But I'm telling you, there is much more to life than that. Here's some practical applications that I took from Jeremiah. I'm just going to read over this. It's easy for us to create in our minds what we think is pleasing to God and how the Christian walk should look. You know, these people, they had created a system of worship that they liked, they thought was good, and they wanted no one to mess with them. A little bit like we had in our Sunday school. You know, we can have this, and it can be extremely false, but yet it feels good to us. And we can create these things in our mind. That is false worship. And God sanctifies us. And he sanctified them through exiling them to Babylon. Frustration comes from failed expectations. Be careful where you place high expectations. You know, we probably shouldn't be putting real high expectations on each other. Because we're going to disappoint each other. Not that we shouldn't have expectations. We should have expectations for our children. But, like, we don't place our hope in people or a thing. It's in a person, and his name is Jesus. The Christian life carries a cross. There is nothing like a problem-free, always-winning, perfect title. You know, we are repeatedly warned about this in the New Testament. Like, set your affection on things above. Don't, like, you're going to face trials, and don't be surprised when they come. Like, they warn us repeatedly, but our expectation should be in Jesus and ultimately our final salvation. There's so much expectation, good expectation wrapped up in there. You can't be used by God and not feel the effects of people's ridicule. God's ways are higher and most times different than we imagine. And so when you come up against people's mindset of this is how it should be, and you preach and you teach and you share your testimony and it's different, you're going to be ridiculed for it. And that's what Jeremiah was facing. So Eric and Linda, I'm sure you're going to face that. It's going to be different. It may not be what these people want to hear. You're probably going to be ridiculed. You're going to be mocked. Be prepared. It's happened. And it's going to happen here too, I'm telling you. It does already. The difficulties, now here's what I want you all to pay attention to this one. The difficulties you face along with failed expectations are not in the way of God's plan and do not show the failure of God's plan. And they are not signs that he is against you, rather a sure sign of his perfect redemptive love. Hardness, God uses hardness to redeem us, to soften us, to break us down, to mold us, to shape us. That's where he does his best work. And he does say, those he loves, he chastens. And yet, we just don't like it. And we think something is wrong when it does come. It's not. It's not wrong. The Lord, in Psalms it says, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. And you know, I should have jotted them down, but there's quite a few very, very popular verses that came from Jeremiah that are quoted regularly. One of those is, one of the most quoted verses probably, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil. You know, and you can hear, like God, Jeremiah, through some of this hard stuff, gave us some awesome, wonderful promises. Here's some quotes on expectation. Expect more from yourself than from others, because expectations from others hurt a lot, while expectations from yourself inspire a lot. That's life. If I knew who it was, I wrote it down. Sometimes we create our own heartbreaks through expectations. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. The best way to avoid disappointment is to not expect anything from anyone, right? It's a quote, but I don't think it's a good quote. That's not how we should live. There should be expectations. All unhappiness is due to wrong expectations. Is that true or false? When you stop expecting people to be perfect, you can like them for who they are. I think there's a lot of truth in that. I hope you do not let anyone else's expectations direct the course of your life. And that's a message in itself right there, that one. The expectations that we allow other people to place on us. I'm going to leave you with this, Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope. It's not the church of hope. It's not the families of hope. It's the God of hope that we serve. And that's when we place our hope in him, our hope will abound. The Greek word for hope here, elpizo. Elpizo. You know how you do that on the computer and you hear it? Elpizo. 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 That's how that one goes. To expect, to hope, and used in to explain it, actively waiting for God's fulfillment about the faith he has birthed through the power of his love. The origin of the word elpizo comes from elpomaya, which means to anticipate, expect. So I would like for you, as you leave today and as you say your farewell to each other, say, live with elpomaya, with expectation, but make sure your expectation is founded and rooted in the hope of Jesus Christ and not in me or each other. Because if you put your hope in me, I will disappoint you, guaranteed. It's okay and good at times to weep deeply over the life you hoped would be. Grieve the losses, the failed expectations, the loss of hope. But then wash your face, put your hope and desires and affections back in the hand of the one who created you and loves you and will not fail you. That's easier said than done. When Jeremiah was in the bottom of that pit, it was muddy, right? Was Jeremiah the one in the mud pit? I forget. I don't know if he was saying that promise or not. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But Jeremiah hung on You can see it. Every once in a while, he just busts out. He said, God, I will praise you. I will worship you. And he stuck it out. And my encouragement to you, keep your hope. There is a lot to hope about. Eric and Linda, there's a lot to hope. I'm telling you, Jesus, his arm is not slack concerning his promises. His promises are still real. And if things don't go like you expected, don't interpret that God is not with you. But maybe he wants to change our direction. Maybe he wants to do something different with us. And I hope somehow this can be an encouragement to you. Live with Elpamaya. Expectation and hope. All right, that's all I have. You can stand up. I thought about doing it before I got up, but that song, My Yoke Is Easy. Sonia had it laying right there. Is it still open? What number is it? Turn to song number 71. Let's sing one. And four.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me. Death, cares of social life, or cares of hope unmet. Are you by remorse or sense of guilt depressed? Come right on to Jesus, he will give you rest. Come unto me.
Said.